This is Vic Porcelli, host of the Two Guys Talking Poker podcast, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach, and
Tony Pratt from The Sound Room.
Hey, we're on the Green Gab today, gabbing with Andy Ellis of Half Moon Construction from New York. How you doing, Andy?
Good. How you doing, Marla? Tony, it's an honor to be on the Green Gab today.
So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you haven't picked on me all day, and we've been recording for most of the afternoon, because I had a birthday last few weeks, and I am now officially a senior citizen.
Well, I'm not going to pick on you for getting old.
So I go, I'm not getting old, I'm getting older. It just happens to be a number. Come on, I can run circles around you some days.
Physically? Probably not.
Mentally?
You never know.
But I had to laugh. My mom wanted to check out this really nice senior citizen next to the YMCA in our community in Oklahoma City. And we walk into the senior center and she goes, well, what's the age to get in here? And they go, 55. And she looks at me and she goes, hot dog. We can go mother-daughter outings. I'm like, oh dear, this is too funny. So I've decided I'm going to be the youngest 55-year-old there is. So there. No?
Sorry.
He doesn't know what to say, so he's going to say nothing.
No, I got to deal with something for work really fast.
Okay, Andy, we're going to talk.
Yep, no problem.
And you, on the other hand, were one of the finalists for Young Green Professional of the Year last year.
Yes, I was. It was an honor to be in the top four finalists for the Green Young Professional of the Year.
Well, you're doing some cool things, so... But tell us a little bit more about you. We'll come back to the business stuff.
Yeah. Working on a nice project in my woodworking shop. A lot of people don't know that I actually do some fine woodworking as a hobby. I'm building a cedar stand-up paddleboard.
Nice.
You know, though, yeah. I mean, that actually kind of goes hand in hand, being in construction, doing woodworking.
True. Yes, it does. And it's a multi-step process, and it takes a lot of patience, like a house build does.
I used to own a cabinet company, so I understand that.
Yes, and when you're out in the middle of the lake standing on a paddleboard, you want to make sure it works right.
I don't know why that would be the case.
Yeah, what is it? Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. I don't think you want that to be your paddleboard.
Yeah. And the paddleboard is much like home building, too. It's got to have a fine balance, and it's got to be just the right width and the length so that it doesn't fall over.
Nice. I don't think I've ever been on a wood paddle board. I think they've all been some kind of composite.
A little polymer or whatever they make them out of.
Well, the nice thing is with all the years of woodworking, it's nice to be a little creative. And the board I'm building right now is Western Red Cedar and has a dark walnut inlay in the middle of
it. Oh my gosh. You're going to have to send us pictures of that when you get it finished. We'll post it on the podcast page. Yeah, you know, whenever it's copacetic to do so, of course.
It's definitely a work in progress, and I do it in whatever spare time I have.
Do you have any spare time?
Well, you know.
I know, you make it, right? You make it.
Well, that would be the question then. How long have you been working on this?
Well, I'd rather not disclose that.
It is a labor of love. I can tell from the way you talk about it.
Yes, and my saying is, it'll be done when it's done.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Yep.
Don't like it until then? Just go swimming.
Exactly. Or rent a paddleboard.
So tell us how you got into building, and green building in particular.
Well, when I graduated from college, I actually have a bachelor's in accounting. And prior to that, I was in engineering, specifically civil engineering. And I always loved home building and drawing and actually doing architectural drawings. And I grew up thinking I was going to be an architect. And then I decided I just really wanted to own my own business. So I went to business school. And when I graduated, I was working as a subcontractor, mostly for a reputable local small home builder. And he got me in tune with doing the right thing and making sure that what you were doing was going to last and be around for many, many generations. And we were going through some residential code changes at the time in the late 90s and early 2000s that leaned towards energy efficiency. And he really didn't support that as much as I thought. And one of the things that really sticks out in my mind is one day we were doing an addition and he said to me, well, after the code inspector leaves, go and cut all the 6 mil poly on every wall so that the house breathes. And that really was a life-changing event. And that's when I decided I really needed to do my own thing and be independent and take my own ideas out on the road.
Now, was it just because he didn't believe in the building science of the time or?
Yeah, you know, and really, if you take it back to 15 years ago, building science really wasn't a common word.
Right.
People didn't understand that the house breathing really had a lot to do with the energy efficiency of the house, their direct correlation. You know, bringing it forward a little bit, today's customer is still a little leery about the house breathing.
We've had this conversation way too many times.
Yes, we have.
And it's great that the Green Gap podcast is out there educating everybody because that's what I do. And I really enjoy that. And I thought to myself, boy, this really seems wrong of me to actually go and cut all that poly and let this house breathe because the codes are here to protect us and to protect not only the builder, but the homeowner and giving us guidelines to work off of. And why would I go and do that when really this was put into place to protect people? So I thought, you know what, the time is now to actually move on and go out and do my own thing.
And there you have it.
Well, sounds like it worked out for you.
Yeah, I would say that we've been extremely successful in the last 15, 16 years of being a more of a high-performance home builder. It was an evolving process. You know, it didn't just happen overnight. And I listened to my customers and I listened to what they wanted to do. And as time went on, more and more customers are asking, you know, I really want something that's going to be around for a long time and is going to cost me a large overhead every month in energy.
I want to delve in a little bit deeper because you're one of the few home builders that I've spoken with that volunteers the information that you listen to your customers, to your clients, you know, to the people that trust you with the biggest investment they likely will make in their entire lives. And what do you learn when you listen to them?
I learn a lot of things. And one of them would be, how do I make this house affordable, but yet get what I want out of it? So we take that into consideration when it comes to really the design of the house. And the evolution of this is really taking the customer and trying to decipher their needs and wants and separating them out and prioritizing exactly what it is that they think they need and then actually design to what they really need. And that first and foremost is always about energy. How do I reduce my impact in energy? How do I do rainwater collection? How do I collect solar energy, whether it's from electric or hot water solar?
I find it so fascinating that you have those conversations with your customers and your clients. And I tend to call them clients because I think with you, they tend to come back and you build a relationship. And that's how I differentiate it. But I want to dive in deeper, but let's take a quick break and then we're going to dive in more. Be right back.
A new season of 24 is here, but where are all the 24 fans? They're over on Facebook. Go join them now before time runs out. It's the best 24 Legacy fan club ever. Check out 24legacyfans.com and take part in the best 24 Legacy fan experience. 24legacyfans.com. That's 24legacyfans.com.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search. Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/Mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Conspiracies, by definition, require more than one person to be involved. After many years of wanting to have more than one person interested in having something conspiracy-based on the network, a rally at the new Two Guys Talking podcast studio has finally made it happen. Two Guys Talking is proud to announce a new program on the Two Guys Talking podcast network. Conspiracy Agents, hosted by Kevin Hawthorne, which will provide outstanding conspiracy and mystery-based content that will bring yet another flavor of podcast-based ice cream to the Two Guys Talking network. Check it all out now at conspiracyagents.com as another new year of captured perspective here at Two Guys Talking begins. That's conspiracyagents.com. Conspiracyagents.com.
Gabbing today with Andy Ellis of Half Moon Construction. And Andy, I love where we were going with this, that you and your clients have these conversations and you get the opportunity to listen to them. Seems like we never get enough listening time in. And I love what you're learning from your clients when you do this. So is this part of how you're really helping the magic to happen with your clients?
Yes, it is. We really would like to take a little bit from every project and put it all together. And, you know, there's so many different products out there and so many different ideas that customers have. And really, it's our responsibility to try to put it together and make it all work right. And a lot of my education comes from listening to the customers and what they want. And it is really an education process in both directions. So a customer that comes to me may not totally understand what a sustainable home is or a zero energy home, but they have this concept in their head of what they really want. So really our responsibility to dive right in, design the house properly, and start with a good wall system and make the house as energy efficient as possible right from the beginning.
Build it in.
I've got a question for you,
yes.
Especially with your zero energy home. Now, I don't know what your situation is up in New York, but down here in St. Louis, there, I was going to get you with a connection fee for the utilities. So we always have to say it's really a near zero energy home because they're always going to have some kind of a bill, whether it's $15, $20. Is that what your kind of situation is up there?
Yeah. If you want to take it a little step further, you could actually design the house to be a net positive home. But you're right, there's always a delivery charge associated with the utility company. So if you can produce a little bit more energy mm-hmm. on your renewables, then you could be near zero.
Gotcha.
But
I want to make sure our listeners understand what you just said. It is possible to create a house, and actually not horribly expensive, it's maybe a little bit more than a traditional house, but it is possible to create a house that produces more energy than it uses, so that you don't have utility bills for electricity or other fuels needed to run your house. Correct?
Correct. In that process, we're going to dive right into, we are a 100% Logix ICF builder. So ICF is insulated concrete forms. And the basic concept of ICF is like a building block, and it's got foam on each side, and then it's filled with concrete. So in that wall design is a lot of benefits. And I want to call it a concrete foundation. And literally, it's not just a concrete foundation, it's a concrete home. And we get a lot of benefits from that. It brings resilience to the home. It brings sustainability. And it also adds a tremendous comfort. And one of the things that this system brings is the concept of you coming home from work and turning up the thermostat. Well, in a home that is extremely airtight with the ICF, we actually don't have to do that anymore, that everything remains consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you an idea of one of the projects we did last year, there was a little over 7,000 square feet of conditioned space. So it was a ranch style home with a full basement, and all of the ceiling heights were 9 feet. The heating load on the house in this particular house was a little under 30,000 BTUs. So the average home today, that's probably a quarter of what it takes to heat a home. We're averaging about 8 BTUs per square foot. From NAHB in 2014, the average home is 34.1 BTUs per square foot. So approximately a quarter of what it takes. So to give you an idea what a BTU is, a 10-watt bulb produces 34 BTUs an hour. So one 10-watt bulb could heat a little over 4 square feet of the house without even trying. So trying to give you a perspective of it, I currently have a condo unit that takes about 90,000 BTUs, and it's only 1,200 square feet. And this house was over 7,000 square feet. So,
and it took a fraction of that. Wow.
Yeah, a very small portion of it is actually required to heat and cool these houses. So when we have a great wall system and we concentrate on our building envelope, then the utilities are smaller. So, you know, the houses really don't cost more. We're just shifting money in the construction process. So instead of spending $18,000 on a propane-fired furnace and spending $400 a month in propane in the heating season, we're doing a little bit more expensive ground source geothermal, which has an upgraded cost to it. But overall, every month, the utility bill is practically nothing. And if you incorporate renewable energy like solar panels on the roof, then you actually would have free heat in this house for almost the life of the solar panels.
A good friend of mine, he is a concrete contractor. And about 10 years ago, he built an ICF house for himself, go figure. And he put it right next to a regional airport. And the one benefit he got out of the ICF house was he got additional sound dampening. Never heard any of the planes, even though they were right next door. Take off, land, whatever. Quiet. So not only was the house very comfortable for him, you know, temperature-wise, but it's very comfortable noise-wise.
Must have put some good windows in.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah. I'm sure he did.
That's where the sound always came through in my old place, was the windows.
But I love watching ICF houses go up. I mean, yeah. It's like playing with Legos almost.
Yes, it is. And we use that term a lot when we're doing home shows and people see the Logix ICF on the ground. And we actually use a little better grade ICF, which they're gray in color. And they actually have graphite in it.
Yeah, make them stronger?
No, actually, it's got little microscopic flakes of graphite in it, which is gray, and it actually reflects heat radiation away from the building. In the summertime, when the sun is directly on the cladding of the house, it actually helps send the heat back away from the house. And then vice versa, in the wintertime, the heat that's in the house actually is retained in the house. So
this is the other way.
Yeah, and so it gives it a little bit higher R value, and EPS foam is naturally white in its process.
Wait. Okay, so R value and EPS foam.
Okay, R value is the resistance to the outside temperature in layman terms, basically how much it can send away the cold or the heat over a period of time. And EPS foam is a type of foam that is non-toxic and doesn't have any off-gassing or any dangerous chemicals over time. It does not degrade more than about 5% of its R value. So it's resistive nature to climate change around it.
Thank you. I didn't know that. I just learned something new.
Well, that's the goal, isn't it?
It is. I learn something new every single podcast we do. So we interrupted your train of thought. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I completely forgot where
I tell you what. We'll take a quick break and we'll get back on track after the break. Hang on, folks.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with Perpetual Advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Everyone's wanted to start a blog, but who wants to start one all on your own? Take your interest in creating a blog to the next level by getting bit by the blogger's bug. Blogger's Bug is a blogging community that allows you to polish your blogging skill set today. Log on today at bloggersbug.com and get bit by the blogger's bug. bloggersbug.com. That's bloggersbug.com.
Gabbing today with Andy still. Andy, you were telling us, me and Tony, us, about your process and your wall systems and specifically how you use ICF building blocks and how those really contribute to your homes being superior wall systems and really attributing to you being able to build a better house.
Yes, the ICF really makes it easy for us. You know, we are in upstate New York, and really, the rule of thumb is here, if you don't like the climate, wait about 5 minutes and it's probably going to change. So the ICF is a real natural fit up here for sustainable home design, because the concrete inside the wall takes a really long time to change temperature. With the ICF blocks and the 3 inches of foam on each side of the concrete, protects that concrete. And so it takes a really long time for the house to cool down in the wintertime and actually heat up from the heat radiating from the sun. So it provides a very stable environment in the house. When we have these climate changes, it affects our building schedule. And really, with the ICF, one of the advantages that we have is that we can actually build faster, because the ICF is really a multiple step in one. It's our structural component. It's got built-in insulation in the wall cavity already. And it's our wall sheathing, where we apply our finished surfaces to, both inside and out. And it provides a great air barrier. We have very little air infiltrating into the house from the exterior, which allows us to control what goes in and out of the house. And we do testing on the house when it's all done. So we would do what's called a blower door test and actually figure out how much air is leaking out of the house and where it's leaking out of the house by using thermal imaging or even something as simple as a smoke stick. And as we increase or decrease the pressure in the house when we're testing, the smoke or the thermal imaging camera will show us where our weak points are. And with the ICF, it's typically not in our wall system. It's usually in our windows. Like you said, you know, you hear everything that's going on outside through the windows and the doors, and even when they're closed, but you won't hear anything from the ICF.
Got it. So why is that so important to the people living in the home that you are doing this extra testing and the air tightness?
Well, you know, as we tighten up these houses and people's concerns are really, is my house going to be healthy? And what kind of comfort do we expect out of these homes? And it's such a big change from the way we've been building with allowing air to infiltrate the house that it becomes a real big education process of you don't need to come home and turn up the thermostat, because when you get home, it's already comfort. There's already a built-in comfort level. So with that, I'm saying all this, but I need something to back it up. So luckily, our industry has stepped up to the plate, and we have lots of certifications. We have everything from EPA's Clean Indoor Air Plus program, which is a certain set of criteria developed by the EPA to say that you don't have any pollutants in the house, that you have properly designed an heating and cooling system that belongs in the house, and that you have provided a house that doesn't have any toxin levels in it to actually sustain bacteria or mold or even right down to pets.
So let me ask you a question real quick. I'm going to pull you off track for a second. So when you're sitting down with your clients and you're listening to them, do they say things like, I want a house that doesn't have mold in it? I want a house that doesn't have air coming in? How much do your clients typically understand? Or is it more that you hear a bigger story and then you help them understand how these little things add up to be that bigger thing? So for instance, you might have a family that comes to you with allergies, and you could say, hey, I'm going to show you how this house helps you with allergies so that it'll be more healthy and comfortable for you to live in. Is that what happens? I'm just trying to get a read on how much people know when they come to you.
Well, again, it's an education process, and there is a certain level of, I want my house to be comfortable.
Right.
And
we all
do. It's usually not to the level of, I have allergies, so I don't want my house to breathe. It's more along the lines of, I know what the benefits of an ICF-built home are, and that I know I'm going to get some great things. Tell me more about it. And then the really big picture is, afterwards, once I tell them and describe what the ICF does for them and energy savings and how airtight the homes are, then the secondary questions come. Well, how do we protect ourselves from mold? How do we protect ourselves from not breathing healthily in the house that doesn't breathe on its own? So that's when we start getting into the details.
So does your average client that comes to you already have an interest in ICF homes, or are you educating them about ICF as well?
They do have an interest in ICF.
Okay, so that helps.
That helps. Sometimes they are coming to me with advanced framing methods, double wall framing, where there is a spray foam in the walls, or sometimes people come to me with a structural insulated panel design, a SIPS panel, but typically they're coming to me with a higher performing home.
Okay.
And so they do have some understanding of what it means to be energy efficient.
So would you prefer the client like this that has an idea of what they're wanting and has a little bit of knowledge about advanced building techniques versus somebody that just out of the blue calls you up and wants to build a house?
It is a much lengthier process if the customer does not understand energy efficiency. And I am all about education, and I am willing to spend the time with somebody who comes to me with a 2x6 stick built design and then showing them dollar for dollar that the ICF is comparable in a 30-year time span and or a mortgage cycle, that there is an economic benefit long-term, because I would say almost 100% of my customers come to me and say, this is going to be my last house. Yeah. So that's really the differentiating factor versus somebody who's in a transition. But even still, somebody who's in a transition could benefit from an ICF home because they are a higher performing home. And I think they are actually grabbing the higher market value in the real estate end. And there's much more awareness of resale value of a high performance home.
Definitely agree with that. And we're seeing that in study after study after study. Not to mention that there's just a much higher level of understanding of this whole green and sustainability thing. And I follow the Shelton Group quite a bit, and they've just done all kinds of research that's backing that up. Matter of fact, I'm excited. We're going to have Suzanne coming on one of the podcasts soon. So
that should be fun.
We'll get a chance to hear it from the horse's mouth. You're absolutely experiencing what we're reading and hearing through the industry that the time has come and people are recognizing that they are more interested in this than they thought. And it sounds like from your experience that they're starting to connect it with their home and that their home is part of, you know, the bigger picture.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun in the education side of this and showing the client the process of building a house and really the return on investment, and also the return on investment, not just financially, but also comfort level in the house.
Very cool. Well, what's the one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with as we wrap up?
We don't build houses in the commercial break. My reality is we build a house the right way and it takes time. And sometimes people's reality is that it gets done during the commercial break in 3.5 minutes.
Even Extreme. What was the one?
Extreme.
That built in 5 days. They're not even that fast.
No. Well,
that is too funny.
It's like a good friend of mine used to say, Tony, building the house is easy. Managing egos, that's the hard part.
Or even one step further, for me as a home builder, the house is the easy part, and building the house and is a lot of fun. The hardest part for me is managing customer expectations.
And I could see that.
And with that, I can't think of a better way to wrap it up.
Perfect.
But it sounds like you do a great job, and we thank you for all you're doing to further your customers' and clients' expectations and up that into the community and the world around you. So Andy, thank you so much for your time.
Nice talking with you, and good luck with that paddleboard.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you too for all you do for our industry and educating both homeowners and builders.
Well, thank you. And if y'all need to tune in and find more, you can find us on iTunes. The Green Gab podcast is at greengabpodcast.com or greenhomecoach.com. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.